Now, how does that happen? Asked Justice Yarber. The room was quiet. The whiz was talking money, and everyone was listening. Happens all the time in IPOs. That's initial public offerings. We know what an IPO is, Beach said. Spicer certainly did not. Didn't have many of those back in rural Mississippi. The whiz relaxed, just a little. He could dazzle them for a moment, win this nuisance of a case, then go back to his cave and ignore them. The Value Now IPO was handled by the investment banking firm of Bakken Klein, a small outfit in San Francisco. 5 million shares were offered. Bakken Klein basically pre-sold the stock to its preferred customers and friends, so that most big investment firms never had a shot at the stock. Happens all the time. The judges and the inmates, even the court jester, hung on every word. He continued, "It's silly to think that some disbarred yahoo, sitting in prison, reading an old copy of Forbes, can somehow buy $1,000 worth of Value Now." And at that very moment, it did indeed seem very silly. Rook fumed while his club members began quietly blaming him. "Did you buy any of it?" asked Beach. "Of course not. I couldn't get near it. And besides, most of the high-tech and online companies are built with funny money. I stay away from them." "What do you prefer?" Beach asked quickly, his curiosity getting the better of him. "Value. The long haul. I'm in no hurry. Look, this is a bogus case brought by some boys looking for an easy buck." He waved toward Rook, who was sinking in his chair. The whiz sounded perfectly believable and legitimate. Rook's case was built on hearsay, speculation, and the corroboration of Picasso, a notorious liar. "You got any witnesses?" Spicer asked. "I don't need any," the whiz said, and took his seat. Each of the three justices scribbled something on a slip of paper. Deliberations were quick, verdicts instantaneous. Yarber and Beach slid theirs to Spicer, who announced,
"By a vote of 2-1, we fine for the defendant. Case dismissed. Who's next?"
The vote was actually unanimous, but every verdict was officially 2-1. That allowed each of the three a little wiggle room if later confronted. But the brethren were well regarded around Trumbull. Their decisions were quick and as fair as they could make them. In fact, they were remarkably accurate in the light of the shaky testimony they often heard. Spicer had presided over small cases for years in the back of his family's country store. He could spot a liar at 50 feet. Beach and Yarber had spent their careers in courtrooms and had no tolerance for lengthy arguments and delays, the usual tactics.
"That's all for today," T. Carl reported. "End of docket." "Very well. Court is adjourned until next week."
T. Carl jumped to his feet, his curls again vibrating across his shoulders, and declared,
"Court's adjourned. All rise."
No one stood, no one moved, as the brethren left the room. Rook and his gang were huddled, no doubt planning their next lawsuit. The whiz left quickly. The assistant warden and the guard eased away without being seen. The weekly docket was one of the better shows at Trumbull.